Well, how much would the Australian tourism market, as in Australians coming here to New Zealand, be worth if our bubble extended across the Tasman? Well, according to one organisation, maybe $2 billion worth. And joining me now is Kevin McHugh. He's a publisher with Finder. Now, Finder is a global comparison site. Kia ora, Kevin.
Kia ora.
Kevin, first off, what's a comparison site?
So a comparison site is effectively a website that helps people make better financial decisions by comparing products. So we help people compare things like credit cards, loans, mortgages, and travel deals.
Right, even overseas travel.
Even overseas travel, that's right.
Tell me then, where do you get this $2 billion figure?
Well, what we did is we looked at the data from the Australian Bureau of Statistics and found that last year, 1.5 million Australians travelled to Indonesia in 2019, obviously with Bali being a favourite travel spot for a lot of Australians. With the international travel on hold as a result of the COVID-19, if just half of those people who travel to Indonesia travel to New Zealand instead, that would equate to an extra $2 billion pumped into the New Zealand economy thanks to Australians.
Is it $2 billion Australian or New Zealand?
That is New Zealand. I'm sorry, just to clarify also, no. So it's not based on the amount of money that would be spent in Indonesia. So around 1.5 million Australians also travelled to New Zealand last year, which was worth $4.1 billion to the Kiwi economy. So the figure is based off that amount, basically.
Ah, so
you're
basing the money on what Australians already coming here are spending.
Absolutely.
And then extrapolating what you think might come to New Zealand if Indonesia's not available as a holiday destination. Why didn't you include the Pacific Islands in that potential new market?
Yep. It just happened to be that that was the data that we looked at and we had easy access to information from the Australian Bureau of Statistics, which is effectively the equivalent of Stats NZ that we have over here. And that was the result that we had. We didn't have the available data for the Pacific Islands.
However, Australians going to Indonesia often go to escape colder weather in Australia. And the problem with New Zealand is that when it's cold in Australia, it's generally even colder here. Do you think it's really realistic to think that they'll behave the same way?
It's true. I mean, there are a lot of factors to consider, but obviously there are a large population of Australians who like to come to New Zealand for skiing. I mean, particularly Queenstown in South Island is very popular with Australians. So while some people might come every year, some people might come every second year, then I think we could expect certainly an increase in those Australians who would come over for skiing with the ski season coming just around the corner, especially as they have very limited options.
Have you also looked at the number of New Zealanders who would normally be going overseas to places like Bali and the Pacific Islands in the winter time, now having to stay here? What potential difference does that make to our tourism, our domestic tourism market?
Well, so our domestic tourism, most of our tourism spend, I've read two-thirds of the tourism spend in New Zealand is actually domestic tourism, so Kiwis spending tourism money within their own country. In terms of actually travelling to other countries, you probably would be surprised to find out the most popular destination is likewise Australia, with 1.6 million Kiwis travelling to Australia last year, according to the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment. In terms of sheer popularity, that is massively more popular than the second most popular destination, which is the USA, which is just over 200,000 Kiwis.
$2 billion coming to New Zealand, perhaps under the modelling you've done, or the assumptions you've made, if Australians switch from Indonesia to New Zealand in the winter time. But how much at the moment do we think we've lost in terms of overall overseas tourism? What I'm really trying to say is how much of the revenue would come back with that $2 billion from Australia compared to what we've lost or think we've lost?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I don't predict, we don't expect that this potential extra $2 billion will recoup the total amount of tourist money that we would expect otherwise. I think that would be quite a large assumption. But the International Air Transport Association forecast that New Zealand's GDP would drop by US $8 billion, so around $13 billion New Zealand dollars due to a lack of tourism. So if you look at this, the increase of our predicted increase from 4 billion to around 6 billion, I mean, it's still a long way off that, and it's still taking quite a bit of a hit, but it is possibly more money than we would have predicted at a time when the tourism industry in New Zealand is having a really tough time.
Kevin, the 1.5 million Australians that come here now, when do they come to New Zealand?
That is a good question. So I don't have stats on exactly when they come to New Zealand, but based on the information we do have on the some of the most popular locations, being Queenstown in particular, we'd have to assume during the ski season, which is obviously just around the corner now, which kind of plays into that conversation around when the Trans-Tasman travel bubble will open. I'm sure the New Zealand government and the tourist sector in New Zealand will be keen to open as soon as possible and hopefully in time to take advantage of at least part of the ski season.
Yeah, what we're going to hope for, I'm guessing, is a bit of spring snow, because it might be a bit unrealistic to expect anything to happen, just based on the feeling I got from what the Australian federal government was saying after Jacinda Ardern joined them for a cabinet meeting a few weeks back. Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen overnight, but it might happen by the spring. But it just happens that often spring skiing in the lower South Island ski fields is often very good.
Yeah, I imagine that's probably what a lot of Australians will be hoping to take advantage of, and obviously New Zealanders themselves.
The other thing is, and this is probably beyond your gambit, but I often wonder why New Zealand doesn't promote itself to Australia as a place to come to escape the heat.
It's a good point. I think a lot of Australians are quite comfortable with the heat. I lived there for a year myself, and a lot of them were they're fairly comfortable with it. Maybe if they're looking to escape the heat, they might travel a little bit further down south. But having said that, Melbourne can get as high as, you know, 40s. So yeah, it's there's a little respite there.
I just reckon a 25-degree day in New Zealand is much nicer than a 40-degree day in Victoria. And unless the fires are really bad, you don't get the smoke from the bushfires over here.
Yeah, true. Acclimatisation, I guess. They're used to it by now. Enjoy the sun and very possibly the heat, yeah.
Mind you, you're from, judging from your accent, Kevin, you're from Britain, aren't you?
I'm from the north of England, that's right.
And I've noticed that Britain,
this side of the world is an improvement for me.
You guys tend to be real heat freaks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not complaining of being this side of the world at all. No, it's a big step up in terms of climate.
Kevin, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for your time.